Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair once again for our weekly muster on Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Singapore to Virginia to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on voiceofbashan.org. Voice of Vashon, of course, is all one word, and it is all lowercase.org. And if you are anywhere other than on the magical Isle of Vashon, you are necessarily streaming with me, because the signal from 101.9 is something like 5 watts. And in fact, it will not even reach down because it's FM. It is frequency modulated. It is line of sight, which does not even reach down into the valley where Captain Joe's quarters are. So greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and in particular to those of you who have been Captain Joe's people for many, many years. There are a lot of you out there, and some of you are wondering, I think, how long the captain is going to continue to be up in the captain's chair. So let the couriers go forth to the farthest provinces and proclaim the good news that it is my intention and my hope and my wish, and should I be able to command it, that it be for a long, long time, because we all have work to do. The binnacle list this week is a mixed collection. Some of my people are getting better and are leaving the binnacle list and returning to full duty. New reports keep coming in from various parts of the world with information about Captain Joe's people who have been newly diagnosed with some particular challenge. And for those, of course, all of you remain in the palm of my hand. The things that have been going on in the week since we last foregathered here in the around the captain's chair. One of them was that in keeping with my avowed mission, which is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live, at the end of this half hour that we spend together every week, here are a couple of things that have come in which helped me to fulfill that mission. The first one was that during the week I received a letter, but it was not addressed to me. It was addressed to Gene Bradley. Now, Gene Bradley was my late mother. Her nickname in the family was Toots, and in this little story that I'm going to relate, I will refer to her as Toots. So this letter came to me. It is dated the 29th of December, 2023, and it is addressed to Gene Bradley at the address for Captain's Quarters, and it is from American Express. Now, you, all of you Captain Joe's people, will certainly remember that Toots has crossed her bar something like 10 years ago. Her credit cards, including one from American Express, have all been ended, terminated, closed out, and yet I'm receiving this letter. And furthermore, this letter encloses a check, check number 2790426, for $1. And the accompanying letter says, "Dear Gene Bradley, we're writing." Now, when a letter starts off and says, "We're writing," it is self-evident, at least to your captain, that they are writing. "Because we've enclosed a check to refund your account listed above." And it even has a claim number. Now, I've made no claim on American Express, and certainly not even 10 years ago. I just closed the account out. "Making sure you know about any mistakes we find is important. So we'd like to explain what happened and what we've done to make it right." And then there is a paragraph that says, "What happened? We discovered that we owe you a refund on the above referenced account." And the second paragraph is, "We've enclosed a check," which they have done. And the third paragraph is, "We've taken care of everything for you." And then finally, it goes on to say, "Sincerely, American Express Customer Care." Now, I am wondering, first of all, how I'm going to cash this check. All of my legal abilities to do anything on behalf of Toots have long since expired. But I will take it over to Colton at Chase here on the magical Isle of Vashon and see whether or not he will allow me to countersign it as Gene Bradley and then over to me, $1 into my checking account. I find this to be very interesting because Toots has been over the bar for now 10 years, and all of a sudden this pops up. One is led to wonder whether there is another check out there from somebody else addressed to Gene Bradley for $50,000 or something like that. So that's the first thing that happened, and now I'm figuring out what do I do with the $1 check. The second thing is that I went to the closing ceremonies pro tem, temporary closing ceremonies of the Heritage Museum here on the island. I've talked before. I've had Dr. Hallman on with me. I've had Cyrus, the treasurer, on with me before. And soon I'm going to have the acting executive director and the former executive director, I'm going to have those lovely ladies come on with me to explain some of the things that are going on with the Heritage Museum. And I bring up the Heritage Museum because it is one of the organizations on the island that I support. And the people that do it, that take care of it, that operate it, on behalf of the island community do just a wonderful job. And it's being closed down because they were able to get a very large federal grant. And this federal grant is going to be used to create a new and permanent exhibit. And so I'm hopeful that this exhibit, this new permanent exhibit, will be not too far away from the style and form of the current exhibits. And when I get Elsa, who is going to be managing the exhibit, who is the former executive director, and Cameron, who will be the executive director pro tem until they find a new one, I will be talking to them about holding on to some of the way that we do exhibits. My concern is flavored and colored by my experience with the museum at the Scott Poer Research Institute. When I was managing the construction of the Shackleton Memorial Library, when I completed my student year and then was asked to stay on and to manage that construction project, one of the things that we had to do, and the only thing that we had to do was the in terms of continuing all of the work of the Institute, was that we had to close down the museum so that none of the precious artifacts would be damaged during the construction process. So at the time, the museum had what I believe to be the largest collection of sunglasses and sun protection for people going out on the ice. The Inuit, what we used to call Eskimos, the Inuit even had a eye protection which they made out of whale bone, whale ivory sometimes, little slits. And all of these examples of this were in a discrete and compact area of the museum. I was fascinated by the museum, the curator, the collector, the keeper of the collections is the title of the person who runs the museum for Scott Poler, was also my academic supervisor, also a good personal friend. And he had a very traditional museum, and all of these eye protections were in one place. Last year, I went to the Institute for the 100th birthday celebration, and not last year, in 2022. Last year is now 2023. So in 2022, I went to the 100th birthday celebration, and I went into the museum, and I discovered that the sunglass collection, the eye protection collection, had been spread out through several different displays. So a revision with a new keeper of the collections had brought the museum into more modern thinking about how museum displays should be organized and shown. And it is not particularly to my liking. So I will be talking to Elsa and Cameron, and with the hope that the same thing does not happen here. The Vashon Heritage Museum is both charming, it has some wonderful exhibits and displays, and they are in the way of telling the story so that you can look at a display and get the full story. But it was a lovely evening, and made even more so because there were so many people there who are Captain Joe's people, but who, for one reason or another, I'd not seen out and about on the island for some time. So that was the second thing that happened in this last week. And I am looking here in my notes. Oh, here we go. Yesterday, we had a power outage here on the island, on the Magical Isle, and I was discussing this with Captain O'Brien just a little while ago, and he disclosed to me that it was island-wide. And I remarked that it had been repaired in record time, just a few hours. Now, usually when we have a power outage here on the island, it's because trees have fallen on power lines. Half of the island, the power lines are below ground. Half of the island, the power lines are still up in the air. And so when we have a power outage, any one of many trees has fallen down on the power lines and knocked them out. Puget Power has right here on, and it is called Puget Power to me forever. Its real name now is Puget Sound Energy, PSE. But to me, it will always be Puget Power. And Puget Power has right here on the island a detachment of people who spring into action almost as soon as they get an indication that there is a power outage somewhere on the island. And the people who do this, some of them live here right on the island. It is well organized. The people are well trained. They are island people. They know that most of the island is on some sort of a well arrangement, which means that the pumps are electrically operated. That's true with mine at Captain's Quarters. The pumps, the pump that brings the water up out of the well, and then the boost pump that provides the line pressure throughout Captain's Quarters, all of those are electrically operated. It is also true that many people here on the island have some sort of backup generator, and I do not. I find that this is something that when the power goes out, I over and over again say, I really should do something about that. And then when the power comes back, I say, well, maybe next time. In any case, I have protocols and I have routines to deal with everything that I need power for. I can cook because the cooktop in the galley is fueled by propane, and I have plenty of propane. And I have a 500-gallon storage tank for fresh water. And if I need to flush the toilet, you cannot flush the toilets because once you use the water that's in the tank, then, of course, you have to refill the tank. And I can do that by going out into the pump house and loading up jerry cans and bringing them into the house and use those to fill up the toilet tanks, Toto toilets. So Puget Power got the power back on in just a matter of hours. A hearty well done to them for that. I compare that to the Washington State ferry system. Puget Power, a long time ago, at least here on the island, figured out that they are here to serve the island community. So far as I can figure out, the Washington State ferry system considers itself there to serve the Washington State ferry system. This morning, for example, the ferry system canceled several sailings because they fell so far behind that in order to catch up, they canceled some sailings. And this in part of the service that goes back and forth between the mainland and the north end of the magical Isle of Vashon. There is hope, however, on the horizon. And that is because the ferry system is hopefully searching for a new director. The incumbent director, Patty, for that is her name, Patty has announced that she is moving on to other endeavors. So as I did last week, I do this week. I wish Patty well. I think that certainly she is of a good heart, but she's not a ferry person. She's not a sailor. She has no license to have anything to do with the ferry system. She's not a captain or a mate. And so far as I know, she's never been on the car deck. So I contrast Puget Power with the Vashon system. And that is my third good thing that has happened during the week. I went on to G Captain. I thank my friend on the Coast Guard Channel, Joe, for his referring me to G Captain some years ago. And I look at it every time I come to do this broadcast. This particular time, I looked at it this morning, and there was an article about this coalition being formed up or having been formed up some time ago to provide safety of merchant shipping in the Red Sea. We've talked a little bit before, and we will continue to talk more about about drones and missiles being fired into merchant ships and the need to protect those merchant ships so that shipping can continue in the Red Sea. A coalition has been formed up, which includes the United States at the lead. And there are a number of other countries which have decided to be a part of the protection of their own flag vessels, India being one of those, and not part of the coalition. My heart is clenching up over this because the command and control arrangements where you have some people under the command of one country, other countries are operating independently, and all of these ships are steaming and crossing each other and are shooting at drones and missiles, and the opportunity for there to be miscommunication or no communication or bad communication and for there to be incidents and accidents rises exponentially as time marches on. My suggestion would be that the United States, which is the head of the coalition, which is formed up and has a number of countries in it, Great Britain being, of course, one of them, is that the United States would say, all right, we'll step back. And some other country could, and we will operate under the operational control of some other commander. Let's say from Sri Lanka, Ceylon. When I looked at that article today, I saw a photograph of a ship that was clearly a former Coast Guard cutter, one of the Hamilton class. And she is under the flag of Sri Lanka. And her name is the Gaju Batu, and her hull number is P, Papa, 626. I did not look up to see what former Coast Guard cutter she was, is. But what is very clear to me is that countries like Sri Lanka are in the Red Sea. India is in the Red Sea, and she is in the Red Sea, and she's proclaimed that she's not going to be a part of the coalition, but she's only going to be protecting Indian flagships that are operating in the Red Sea. The opportunity for difficult situations, putting it charitably, is high. Not because these are enemies to each other, but because there is no coordination going on. Communications back and forth is going to continue to be a real problem. Language is going to continue to be a real problem. I am urging, insofar as I can urge anything these days in this particular realm, that the United States take the lead in possibly even stepping back and saying, we will operate under the control, but let's have one organization here working in the Red Sea to protect all of these, to be there not only to take care of the drones and the missiles, but also to take care of the hapless mariner, the hapless merchant seaman, should there be haplessness that happens. Thanks to my friend John, also on the Coast Guard Channel, J-O-N. There was an article recently about Polar Star and about the new as yet to be constructed, as yet to be commissioned, as yet to be breaking single inch of ice. What is being called the Polar Security Cutter. They can't fool me. That is the proper hull number for that would be WAGB, and then we're out whatever hull number comes in the sequence. WAGB, W means Coast Guard, AGB means an icebreaker. And they're calling it a Polar Security Cutter. Can't fool me. I know what they are. So there is yet more delay. In the meantime, the Coast Guard has asked for money in the budget in the fiscal year in which we now find ourselves to buy a commercial icebreaker. But there is no such thing. The best we can come up with is an ice-strengthened ship, and she will not be able to handle 20-foot-thick ice on the approaches going into McMurdo. In the meantime, Polar Star is in the third phase of some major refurbishment, and let's hope that this work is sufficient to keep her going until the first of the so-called Polar Security Cutters, icebreakers, WAGB, come on the line. The other thing that in terms of ship construction, I know that all of you are fascinated by ship construction, as am I. A new class of ships called an expedition medical ships, which is going to be painted white with red crosses on the side, being built by Austal, that wonderful shipyard that built some of the literal LCS class that I have maligned on this broadcast many times. And they are going to be USNS ships. In other words, they're going to belong to Sealift Command. They're going to be manned by civilian merchant mariners licensed by the Coast Guard, and they will have Navy military medical people aboard. They're going to be named for naval hospitals. The first one is T, stands for Sealift Command, and then EMS for Expeditionary Medical Ships, and then hull number one, her name is going to be Bethesda for the wonderful Naval Medical Center at Bethesda, Maryland, now part of the Walter Reed complex. But again, they can't fool me. I know who that is, and that is Bethesda. The second one is going to be named Balboa for the Naval Hospital of Balboa in San Diego. The third one remains unnamed. These are incredibly ugly-looking ships. They're catamarans. And I would not want to endure a Pacific typhoon in one, but then, alas, I will not be given the chance for that. So we come once again to the end of our time together. I close this broadcast by saying that I have already talked before about the series of messages that comes out from the Coast Guard to all Coast Guard people. Call All Coast, A-L-C-O-A-S-T, All Coast. Today is the 9th of January in 2024, and we're already up to number 8, All Coast number 8. I'm going to do one broadcast that's going to include some more information about this, because some of the titles of some of these things which the Commandant feels it necessary to broadcast to the entire Coast Guard family are really something else. So I wish I did not include in the binnacle list, but I do so here, that the Commandant of the Marine Corps has just had open heart surgery. We wish the General well, and that he returns to full duty shortly. And the same is true of the Secretary of Defense. It is beyond my understanding why the Pentagon went dark, or why he personally went dark. But when we have more of that I may well talk about it. He had an obligation to tell his boss, the commander-in-chief, when he had a problem. So we are now at the end of our time together. This is, as always, your Captain Joe. I'm up in the captain's chair. I'm on station and watching properly. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, which will be just in 1 week from today. And Captain Truman is sitting right across from me. And many thanks to him for not only doing the electronic magic that he's going to do, but for his enduring friendship.